you catch Michelle having sex in the room?
No, they were just making out.
All right, it's still bad enough.
Oh my God, yeah, I was like 11, so I was just all like, ow! I was like, my sister! Get off of her! You animal!
Dickie, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
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 No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Don't tell.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. I'm your host, Nikki Levy. I'm so happy to be here with you. I just have to tell you guys a story. So mother phoned my mom today. You know, I give her a call. Her birthday's tomorrow, so I want to check in. And she tells me that she is going away for a couple of days with her new boyfriend. We will call her new boyfriend Barry because, you know, that's his name. So she's going away with Barry and she's like, so Nikki, I bought this pair of underwear. And immediately I'm like, oh God, don't say it. Like, you're going away with him. That's enough. Like, I don't want to think about what else happens. And now you have this pair of underwear. Like, in my mind, I'm already like turning off and like, I throwing up a little bit. I can't hear it. She says, I bought this pair of underwear. It's very sexy. It's like a one piece. Now, what my mother is talking about is a nightie, like a negligee, the kind of thing that straight women wear for straight men, like in the 80s. Do you guys still do that now? Are there straight people who listen to this podcast? Do you still? It's like lace and satin. So my mother hasn't dated in a while, so she's apparently buying 90s and negligees like it's 1985. So I'm really grossed out now. She says it's very sexy, but I can't wear it because it's very uncomfortable on my skin. It's very scratchy. Now, I bought two. I'm gonna send it to you in Scotland. Guys, my mother is trying to pawn off her worn 90 onto me and my wife. Is there any reason why anyone should be surprised that I have no boundaries? My mother is trying to give me a secondhand nightie that she previously tried on to wear with her boyfriend. I'm disgusted. Okay, guys, we have an amazing episode today. We have the incredible drag queen, Shay Coulee. She won RuPaul's Drag Race. She is a brilliantly talented costume designer, singer, dancer, artist. She tells us all about her childhood growing up in Illinois, growing up with a reverend mother, and then the time she almost set the kitchen on fire. Her mom is off, I don't know, preaching somewhere in the Midwest. So we are joined by Shay's bestie, Shay's sister, Tiger Lily, who is hilarious and funny and wonderful. And we just have a whole gay old time. Here is the wonderful Shay Coulee right after this. God, I'm so disgusted. I'm still disgusted.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Shay!
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
What's shaking? Does anybody say that to you? Know. What's shaking?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's shaking? It's normally my ass, but that's normally how I start my mornings. Yeah, a cup of coffee and a nice good ass shaking around the kitchen island is really what gets me started.
Are you in Chicago?
I'm actually in LA right now. I like literally just landed and got to my Airbnb like an hour ago.
Welcome.
Yeah.
What are you doing in LA? What are you here for?
I'm here to write some music. So I'm going to be writing for a couple days before I go on vacation for the first time in like 2 years.
Now, in your way of like songwriting, do you have music or lyrics written and then you're here to collaborate, or are you literally like jamming with people, figuring it out as you go?
Yeah, we literally just like get together in a room. I describe like what I'm feeling, what I want to like create that day. They'll start playing something, we'll catch a vibe, I'll like hum a melody. And then when I have like a melody in my head, then I'll start putting words to it. And then we just kind of build it from there. And so I always love to see what we like create every time we go into a room and just try and put our ideas and our feelings and our talents together.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for joining me on the podcast right off an airplane. I mean, if I were you, I'd literally be passed out right now.
I was actually like sitting next to a child. So it's great to have a doll conversation.
Are you serious? Was it an annoying kid or a cool kid?
You know, he was like so young. He was like maybe 3 and he was in the middle seat. And, you know, he immediately, like, I'm not around children often. So he immediately sat down. His mom was sitting somewhere else on the plane because that's just, you know, their tickets or whatever. And he had his like mask down and he immediately like sneezed and all the snot went flying onto the seat in front of him. And I was like,
Shay.
Oh my God. The sneeze scared me at first, but he was a really sweet little toddler. He was on his little iPod. At one little point, he like fell asleep over on me and I was like, oh, okay, this little kid's all asleep on
you're
me.
You're like,
so
I hated
fine.
You, but now you look cute.
Yeah, I was like, now you're adorable because you're like sleeping, watching PBS Kids on your iPad. So, you know, I guess I'm not as sinister and as I think I am towards children.
And you grew up in Illinois?
Yes, Plainfield, Illinois. Yeah, it's like an hour and 10 minutes outside of Chicago.
How was that?
It was very, I was a lot of firsts for a lot of people in that town. They just had not really met anybody quite like me. I know the teachers and the students, because we moved there when I was like 5.
Uh-huh.
From Indiana. I was born in Indiana, and then we like moved there when I was like 5 because of my dad's job. But yeah, no, it was and it's oddly enough to say that moving from, because where we lived in Indiana, you know, there was, you know, it was so multicultural. So it was a big culture shock to spend like my first 5 years being exposed to a bunch of different people to then going to like this really like lily white, what was like a farm town. Like that was mostly, it was like agriculture, like it was like out there. So yeah, it was lonely. I didn't have very many friends. But then like when I got into like theater, was when I started to like meet like-minded, sensitive, artistic kids. And then, you know, I started to make more friends and like, you know, build more self-confidence and things like that, you know, and how the story goes. We always know how to like find our tribes.
It's true. You know, us like misfits, weirdos, queers, we seek each other out because we don't want to feel alone.
Yeah. Like when I first started making friends, like in theater, my first girlfriend when I was in 6th grade has now transitioned and is a trans man. And
no
I was just
way.
All like, I was like, you know what? We talk about it all the time. and he's like, of course, because here's the thing. I remember at the time when they were Ashley,
yeah.
You know, I was just all like, wow, I've never had somebody flirt with me like this before. And, you know, in retrospect,
so
Clark, now Clark was like, you know, I don't know. It was just, I obviously was attracted to like, you know, the queerness that was in you. And I was just all like, I obviously was attracted to that in you as well. And even though, you know, it was one of those 6th grade kind of situations and we only dated for like 2.5 weeks. I just love that. You know, you always do manage to find ways to like find your tribe, you know, hopefully.
It's like, I remember when I was in middle school and I knew I was gay. I just couldn't, mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't talking about mm-hmm. it. There was a guy named Juan, W-A-N, and he wore like lots of neon, just like lots. I mean, cheekbones uh-huh. for fucking days. And I remember just glomming onto Juan. Because yeah. I knew, and Juan didn't say anything, and I didn't say anything, but it's like...
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. Uh-huh. We got each other.
And were you effeminate growing up?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Oh, goodness. It's just like... And my dad tried to, like, shake that, get that out of me. He really tried to, like, get me in sports. I remember... I would always stand with like my hands like on my, like not even on my hips, but like up on my waist. Like I would put them like up on my waist like this.
Yes.
And I'd stand like arch my back. And he would always like walk up behind me and just like push my hands down. Like, don't stand like that. Like, don't stand like that. Like, stand up like straight, you know.
Stand up straight.
Yeah, stand up straight. Hello. And so, yes, yeah, yes. You know, I remember just always having
so interesting
everybody. And my parents, you know, growing up in a really religious household, you know, my mom's a reverend.
I can't, I have so many questions. So yeah,
my grandfather, he was like, he did the like youth choir. He was like, you know, he like oversaw like the youth choir and like youth ministry. So like came from a family that was just like really heavily involved in the church. So, you know, as someone who is so clearly, obviously queer from a very young age,
yeah.
I could tell they were just like, they wanted to protect me so bad from the outside world because, you know, it's just like, even though things have become so much better now, it's just like homophobia is just out there, you know? So regardless of the fact that they showed me love and were like nurturing, there was always this, it's almost felt like they were trying to like train and condition me for the outside world and be like, look, you almost should stop this behavior just to save yourself from like what may, you know, happen. And like, literally, I just couldn't not be myself. I've just always, you know, been just a very strong-willed person. And yeah, when I was younger, I took like a lot of bullying, but I also like threw it back. So it was just like, I was very, you know, growing up, I remember being like, I don't understand why these kids don't like me. I feel like, you know, for kids, a lot of times, you know, they're trying to take out their own insecurities on other kids. And when you don't, like, there'd be moments where I'd be insecure about this or that. But then I've always been observant enough. And like, this is something that I feel like a lot of like queer kids do. And especially like queer kids of color, like we love to read. Like, you know, it's that sharp, like wit. Like I will make an observation the same way that you're trying to make, you know, an observation about me, pick out my weakness, pick out my insecurity.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the same thing about you. But the thing that I have that you don't have is wit. And so I'm going to make it funny. And then people are going to laugh at you. And then you're going to feel that embarrassment. And I'm going to sit there and be like, see, you shouldn't have even tried it with me. And like, that's what it was, you know, like sharp kid, always like sharp and quick-witted. So I was just even to teach, I would even read my teachers like, and they would even laugh at themselves because I was just like, I remember one time, like my chemistry teacher was like trying to read something on the, like the periodic table at Elements. And she was like stuttering with the words. And I was like, sound it out. She was able to laugh at herself. Mrs. Corcoran, shout out to you.
So you're telling me you were practicing your drag like in middle school, elementary school?
Oh yeah, always. Oh my gosh, I would read my older sister's boyfriends. Like I would let anybody have it if they wanted it.
Good transition, because I really want to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race for a second.
Yeah.
I heard or I read that you auditioned 5 times before you got onto Drag Race for season 9. You auditioned 5 times?
Yeah, I auditioned 5 times.
What the hell?
I just believe in divine timing. Everything
religious?
Happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Very spiritual. Okay. Yeah. I don't really subscribe to like organize religion in any sort of specific way. I do lean into a lot of like the teachings of Christianity because obviously like that's where a lot of my roots come from. And I wish that people approach Christianity the way that my mom does, because she approaches it from a place of love, and that that for us as humans, we should be of service to one another, and the service that
Absolutely.
We owe one another is to just love one another, and like that is it. But I'm like, my mom just gets it, and she's like, that's just my one mission, is to go out there and be a service to other people and to love on them and to just love them. And I'm just all like, if every Christian were like my mom, I'm like, oh my gosh, this world would be such a better place.
It would be night and day.
Yeah.
I wonder what it is about your mom that she was able to interpret the religion in this way. Because a lot of people don't. I wonder what do you think it is?
I don't know. I think it's just her heart. I think it's just who she is fundamentally. And I think that she sees like the flaws within organized religion. And I feel like she wants to work from the inside out.
Your mother sounds incredible.
Oh, she is so incredible. She is literally like an angel walking among us.
How am I not meeting your mother today? At some point, I'm meeting your mother.
Oh, we have to. We have to.
We have to meet your mother.
Yeah, she's absolutely impeccable.
I want to hear how she preaches. What's her name?
Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
But is it Reverend Marilyn?
Yes, Reverend Marilyn Merrill.
Reverend Marilyn Merrill. What has she seen you? Of course she's seen you do drag, because she's seen you do drag in the audience of Drag Race.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she's seen me do drag before. Her and before my dad passed away, they actually came and saw a show that I did. And I performed Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. So every time I hear that song, I just always think. And my dad didn't know about tip culture. So when I started getting tips, he was like, Marilyn, are they giving her money? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And like, my parents, they're of my grandparents who, like, you know, lived through the depression, everything like that, you know, there's a little money to be made, a little extra something to be made. They're like, hey, well, then that's a good hobby.
Hello, well, like, take it.
Right? They're like, oh, well, because, like, you know, I'm sure my dad is counting the dollars. Like, I think she just made like $60 in 3 minutes, you know?
This is not a bad profession.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's what, you know, and it was just so cute. That was such a great moment. I'm so glad that my dad got to see me perform while you're still here with us.
Me too. That's very, very special. Okay. So you have a story. I don't even know it because I don't know it. Shay, tell me everything.
This is a story about how my bespoke artisan tortilla chips almost led to a blazing home fire.
We'll be back with Shay Coulee right after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I just want to take you back to the summer after seventh grade.
Yes.
My sister Michelle, she was working part-time at this like home goods store called Lecter's. I don't even think that I remember they closed while she's wearing that. I don't even think that story.
It sounds like Hannibal Lecter's. Yes, go ahead.
Like Hannibal Lecter. Yes, Lecter's. And so I was home. I was hungry. And so I like really wanted to make some nachos, but we didn't have any tortilla chips.
Okay.
And I was just all like, but like, damn it. I was like, I really want some nachos. And so I was all like, okay, I know what I'll do. I took, because we had some like small like tortillas, took these tortillas, took a pizza cutter.
Yes.
Like sliced them into eighths, drizzled a little oil on them.
In seventh grade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You were very gay at a very young age.
Hello,
my love.
Right? I was like, I'm so like, I was just like, I got this.
Bitch, if you're, then, you are drizzling on tour, I don't even, I mean, just like, I'm going to give you like an apron. Come on.
And I'm making this up because like, look, at this time, you know, it's not like we have smartphones to like go and like look this stuff up or anything like that. So in my mind, I'm just like piecing together things that I've seen my parents do and be like, this seems like the way I would make a tortilla chip. So I put the broiler on the oven. Stop. And so then I put the tortillas in there. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I'll leave them in the broiler. They'll get like nice and like crispy. I don't know what happens. I'm pretty sure I was watching making the video of Beyonce's Baby Boy. I got distracted
with you.
And then I was just all like, oh my God, like, what is that smell? And I was like, oh my God, like, shit. It's like I'm making these tortilla chips. And then I go over to the oven, and our kitchen was all white counters with this like island in the center, windows towards the back, like a range oven, and then like a refrigerator. And then next to the refrigerator were two stacked like ovens. And so I had put it in like the little, you know, stacked ovens. And like, so I was like, oh, damn it, they're like burned. But as soon as I opened the oven, this one little flame was like, poof, and then it just, woof, the whole tray, everything was engulfed in flames. And like black smoke is just billowing all over these white cabinets, all over the kitchen. Like, and I literally run across the island to the sink to like grab the like extending faucet and like spray it all over the island into the oven to like put out the fire. Luckily, I did.
You but, did? Like,
yes, I did. I put out this fire, like literally shooting across the island, the faucet. And so, you know, the smoke alarm is going off. And like literally as this is happening, my friend at the time, Kyle, comes over, rings the doorbell to see if I wanted to like, you know, come over and like play basketball because, you know, I was also a little bitch at that time.
I was going to say, I'm shocked by this. Yes.
Right.
By this revelation.
I know I did like, and even though I've always been this femme, I would still play basketball with like the neighborhood boys because I was like, whatever, I'll still do
it. You get to hang out with them in shorts, but.
Yeah, hello, girl. You get it. Get invited to the sleepovers. Anyway.
I mean, gotta get it when we can get it.
Right, hello. And he comes over to see if I want to play basketball. And I'm just like, just cut to me opening my door, just like, sorry. But I just almost burned my house down. And he's like, what? And I was like, there's just like black everywhere, all over my cabinets. And he like comes in and he takes like one look at my kitchen. And he's like, yeah, I think I gotta go home. And just like immediately leaves me there. I'm just all like, oh my gosh, what do I? Home alone. And I'm just like looking at these cabinets like, oh my God. I was like, what do I even do? And then I feel like Kyle leaves in no joke. God. Like 10 minutes later, I hear the garage door go up. And it's my sister, Michelle. And she comes in and she's just all like, I'm just like, you know, beside myself, like crying. Just like, I'm like, I'm just like, they're going to kill me. Like, blah, blah, blah. And so she's just all like, okay, go in the garage and get a screwdriver. We're going to take these doors. Like, we're going to take the cabinets off, take them out in the backyard. We're going to rinse them off. Okay. And then we're going to put them back up before dad gets home. Because dad is always the first one to get home from work. And so we do all this. We take them off around the backyard, like hosing them, like all this, like washing them, like getting everything. You know, dad comes home. He like immediately smells that there had been smoke.
The fire.
Right. He immediately smells it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say anything.
Yes.
And it just goes upstairs. And I'm like, okay, work. Michelle, we got away with it. An hour later, mom comes home. My mom's a Gemini. She comes in. She's just all like, what is this? She's like, what is this smell? She's like, what happened? And we're all like, I don't know. She's like, Will, do you smell this? And like, so it's just this whole thing. And then like my parents will stop and they turn, because Michelle was 18 at the time. And they were like,
oh no,
Michelle, were you smoking?
No, they turned on Michelle.
They turned on Michelle, and Michelle like looks at me, and she was just all like, "Yeah, I was smoking in the garage, and I think I just left the screen door open."
What? Michelle took the heat.
She took the heat
for
me. Yeah, she literally took the heat.
What kind of sibling? What kind of healthy sibling bullshit is this? What is wrong with you?
Loving, supportive family where we like, yeah, right, where everyone looks out for each other.
Your sister took the heat and said she was smoking a cigarette to cover for your Betty Crocker ass?
Yeah, she really did. She really, really did.
I can't mm-hmm. with you. What is
and
let me ask
to
you
this
one
day,
question?
Still to this day, they think Michelle was smoking in that house. Like, Michelle got grounded for a week for that. You know, like
Michelle is too nice.
It's way too nice. Way too nice. But also, 2 years previous, I did touch her in her room with a boy and I didn't tell. So
you
I
did
feel
it?
Like no, I didn't tell. See, we had each other's backs. Like that's how you know, because it's just so like I feel like well, maybe not having each other's backs, because I feel like as siblings, you know that there will come that time where you'll have to be like, remember? Because like I didn't even have to say anything. It's like she kind of looked at me and she's like, okay, I owe him.
I got you.
Like, mm-hmm. Like I got him on
this
one.
We're even, but the next time, even. That's it. It's off.
Exactly.
Did you catch Michelle having sex in the room?
No, they were just making out.
All right, it's still bad enough.
Oh my god, yeah, I was like 11, so I was just all like, ew! I was like,
ew!
My sister!
Ew!
Get out of there! You animal!
Well, on the show, most people want to call their mothers, but you wanted to call your best friend. Tell me who she is and tell me why.
Okay, so this is my best friend, Tiger Lily. Like, she, of anybody, like, of any of my friends, she has known my mom and my sister the longest. Like, my
really?
Mom looks, yeah, my mom looks at Tiger Lily like she's, like, another one of her daughters. Like, she literally
wow.
goes, like, yeah, Tiger Lily, she's just been my boo since, like, I was 18 years old. So, like, she is one of my longest friends, and so she's literally family.
All right, let's call Miss Tiger Lily. Tiger Lily,
hello.
It's a party. On the
hey.
Zoom.
Good old Tosh, that's what we call
good
each other.
Good old Tosh.
Tosh.
Tosh, yeah, that's our nickname yep. for each other.
Now, didn't you guys meet in college? Like, doesn't this go back to Columbia College, Chicago, early days?
We sure yeah. did. We uh-huh. met. We met in. We were both. Well, good old Tosh, good old Shea Coulee, as the world knows, started off as an actor and then costume designer. And that's how we met. We worked in the costume shop at Columbia together. And mm-hmm. we fell in love.
Yeah. When we both started working in the costume shop, you know, the other designers, they were very serious. You know, they were
yes,
like, we're costume designers. Anyway, she comes in. We all have these little, like, cubbies under these, like, drafted, these, like, pattern tables. And she's
yes.
like, hey, guys. So, hi, just want to introduce myself. I have this Hello Kitty mailbox and this Hello Kitty stationery. And so if you guys just want to like write me a note or something and leave it in my mailbox, you know,
just cause that's what we do.
Exactly. And
we write each other Sanrio letters.
Exactly.
Hello. That's what I did in college.
Hello. And I'm literally sitting there
oh my God,
this
I
is
can't.
The cutest thing ever. I cannot wait to like write her note. I was like, I better hurry up and do it before her mailbox gets so full.
Stop it.
People wrote me notes.
And so like, I wrote her this one being like, hey, think you're super cool. Really think we should hang out sometime outside of school. Love chocolate lavender. And that's what I wrote. Like, as I will like.
Wait, and then, like, were you going by chocolate lavender at the time?
No. I don't even know what. I have no idea what inspired me to write that because I was just all like, it's also, I was like, I'm the only black designer in here, so I'm just gonna put like some funny name. She'll obviously
yeah, you will clearly yeah, know who like, chocolate lavender is.
Cut to her walking in, finding the note, and me being like, okay, she's gonna know. And then I was like doing this like fitting on this actor, and I literally watched her
read your note.
Look at
who's
everybody in the room. Like, I could see the question mark, and I'm really like, is she really going around looking at everybody in this room?
There's only one
then,
chocolate lavender here, and you
she,
know
like,
who it
comes,
is.
And then, like, she comes full circle and then, like, looks down,
Tiger?
Like, at me, like,
yeah.
across the table, and she's like, you're chocolate lavender. And I was like, yeah, no. And then the rest is all, like, history. We were just, like, from then on, we were just all like, I feel like it's good to find a best friend that you can be your weirdest self with. And yes, I think that that's what we found with one another. And we were like, oh, perfect. I can totally be myself.
You know, I think that's the definition of a best friendship.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But Tiger Lily, you are still a designer. And didn't you design some of Shay's amazing outfits for Drag Race?
Yes, mm-hmm. I've done some stuff for Shay for Drag Race. I feel like my specialty are like headpieces. I love a crown on a queen. It's just mm-hmm. what you do. Mm-hmm. And I did Shay's hot dog headpiece on season 9, which Lady Gaga got to see, which was really exciting. I did Shay's premiere look on season 9. It was this like beautiful white like dress because mm-hmm. ingenues wear white.
Yes.
And it pulls the eye. Mm-hmm. I did her prom queen look, her headpiece on All Stars. But yeah.
Was Shay different in college? I mean, I was crazy in college. Was Shay different in college than now?
You know what? Shay was always a star. I'm not even like trying to like gas her up or anything. Like when I met Shay, like Shay was my first artist friend. Like Shay is a fine artist, like mm-hmm. could paint, draw. And that was something I admired so much because like pen to paper, that is not my medium. Like I need to play and I need like physical dimension and stuff. And
yes,
I mean, just seeing the way Shay painted like on paper, like we would do costume renderings, you know, draw out our little figures and stuff. And I mean, it was like stick figures to the fucking Sistine Chapel. It wasn't even fair. Like, Shay, you know, and actually when I don't mean to be that person, but I got Shay like watching Drag Race in the first mm-hmm. place.
What?
And
Shay went to Drag Race?
Yeah.
Yes.
Stop it. Tell me.
So it was selfish, honestly. We used to, when we worked in the costume shop together, we would always watch Project Runway. Everyone in the shop watched Project Runway. We'd all kiki about it in the shop during school and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to watch Drag Race. No one watched Drag Race. So I was like, Tosh, you got to watch this show. Oh, my God, it's so good. Like, these queens are amazing. They sing, dance, act, design, all this stuff. Like, you can do all of this and do it better, you know? Like, I already knew. Like, and I was,
This is a friend to have.
Yes, mm-hmm. and I was just, and actually, you were, like, kind of dabbling in drag a little bit. Like, not, like, full on, but, it, you know.
Yeah, just,
it was,
like,
it was
looks.
An interest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just
I
kind
play
of.
Around. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, experimenting at that point. And then I think good old Tosh was sick, and then, you know, was binge-watching Drag Race and fell in love with it. And, you know, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. Like,
so you... Yeah. You were the gateway drug.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, she was. No, legitimately was. Because she was like, I see what these queens are doing on this show. And she's like, I feel like you can do this, but even better. She's like, I feel like you could do this show and win this show. And this was like mm-hmm. before me even really starting to do drag.
Yeah, this
really...
was like season 2 of the show. And I would be like, you're not just going to be on the show. You're going to like fucking run this show. Give it some time, you know.
Hi,
yeah.
Lily. Did you guys, I have to tell you, my best friends from Northwestern, which is where I went to college, are my best friends now. Okay, and I graduated in 1999. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. we go way the fuck back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Were you guys wild together in college? Like, I feel like you have to be.
Yes.
Tell me a story. Wild together now. Story.
I know. I was like, nothing. I was like, college.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we went to art school. Come on. Like, we had
so
a lot
weird.
Of fun in college.
Okay. But I think one of my favorites was like just post college. There was this one night we were like out on this boat, you know, and like Tiger, she was having this moment with like this boy. And like her Ugh. And I, like no joke, yeah, like not mother. Her and I, no joke, polished off a handle of tequila between the two of us while we walked around like down like the lakefront and like just like talk while she just like vented.
We didn't hide it either. Like I just had the bottle in hand.
Like just she's just venting and I'm listening and I'm gassing her up. I'm like, yeah,
crying.
I'm like, yeah, I don't need any of this. I remember one time we were like, we got to stop for a second. And like, I don't remember what building it was. It was like something on Michigan Avenue, but we literally like sat like in, because you know how they have those big like windowy like display, like that the posters are like in, but it's like deep, like enough for you to sit on. And we like sat there for probably 10 minutes, still talking and like swigging this tequila and then walked to Pilsen. Okay, we're going to go to Los Camales. We're going to get these. We're gonna get some tacos. We're gonna get some horchata, and then we're gonna go back, and we're gonna like watch Adele perform live at the Roseland Theater, and we're gonna cry some more, and we're gonna just like be like, "Boys aren't shit." And I still, even though we were like hella almost blacked out, like her and I can still vividly remember going into Los Camales and like looking at the ladies who have definitely seen us there sober plenty of times before.
Yeah,
with the. They looked so concerned. They looked terrified for us. Like, are you guys? Because I'm sure she had like mascara tears. Like, they were probably like, did they get robbed?
My eyes were swollen from crying
because and some guy did you wrong, and Shay's trying to make you feel better.
Right? We finally get out. We get our order, and we are like crossing the street. We're holding the carrier. And the horchata, like, it unfolds, and the horchata just, like, fall through. And, like, crash, no joke, just,
right
like,
on the sewer drain.
Into the sewer drain. And, like, she lets out this blood-curdling scream like someone dropped her firstborn baby.
Horchata! What's next?
At, like, 1 a.m.
You take my man. You take
I'm
my
sure
right
somebody
drink.
Walking home probably thought someone got stabbed.
Like, yeah, for sure. And we were literally like 2 blocks away. We could have walked back, but I was like, no, it's too far. We have to go.
Can you still party like that, you guys? Because I can't.
Hell no. Oh, hell.
Or if I even try, I need like a week. I need like a whole week and a vacation after it.
To recover.
Like, I just had a wedding the other day. I'm now just coming to like on Wednesday.
Well, I like to end every episode with Jeannie. I want to know what you guys love most about each other.
It's like so hard. Yeah. Like, what is there? What one thing?
I would say the thing I love most that I most admire is Shay is only in competition with Shay. Like, Shay's always trying to one up themselves and like that drive. I mean, Shay and I have gone through some serious life events together and just seeing Shay come out like so triumphant still on the other side. I mean, it is a survival guide for me, honestly. Really? So, and so many other people, but like, you know, I honestly like, and Shay, when Shay wins, everybody wins. You know what I mean? Like, who can say that? So many people get up to this high level of success and, you know, they just forget who they are and whatever. But Shay is fucking grounded. And like, Shay, how can you be a star and still be so down to earth? You know, it's like you get the best of both worlds with Shay. So it's something that's never left. And I'm just, you know, I'm so proud of Shay.
Shay, what do you love most about this Lily?
I would say what I love most about Athena Tiger, my goddess, is how cunning she is. She sees. She has vision. Is so intuitive, and she has such a sense of knowing not only about herself but about other people. And she can see things in other people that they don't see in themselves. And she knows how to bring it out. She's one of those people that genuinely brings out the best in other people. And that's such a rare quality. because she doesn't have to do that. No. Nobody has to do that.
I don't.
She really feels joy in watching people live up to their own potential.
Aw, thanks, Tosh.
I'm just so happy we got to do this, and I hope you had fun. I really do.
Oh, I had so much fun. Thank you for having me.
If it's not one thing,
it's your mother!
Thank you for listening, my family. We hope you like what you heard. If you do, subscribe to us at Don't Tell My Mother. And please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It really helps us get this podcast out to more and more people. We love you so much. Follow us on the socials at Don't Tell My Mother and at Nikki Levy. And just remember, our moms know how to push our buttons because they're the ones who installed them.
Mwah. Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, babe. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call you because I was recording this podcast and I was just talking about how amazing and fantastic you are, and I just wanted to call you and reiterate that.
Oh,
Karen. Oh, Mom. Well, you know I love you. You know you're my number one girl.
I love you so much, and I'm just honored and so happy with the connection that we have.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.